Ahuya, he said, if war comes, it will come to Jerusalem too. We are going to liberate the old city. I didn't believe him. I thought to myself, this is only a dream. Every combat alert at the time was against the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Iraqis, never against the Jordanians. It will happen, my brother said. You will see. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 222, Independence Day 1967. I'm Mayor Soloveitchik. In the middle of May 1967, Israel marked its Independence Day in Jerusalem. Attending the series of celebrations were its Prime Minister, Levi Eshkol, and many members of its governmental and military leadership. In the midst of it all, a conversation between two brothers took place. Two members of the IDF, one serving in the elite group of soldiers known as Sayeret Matkal, and the other, a helicopter pilot. These two brothers, the pilot Eliezer Cohen, known as Cheetah, and the Special Forces member Nehemiah Cohen, had grown up in Jerusalem and were both deeply wounded by the fact that Jews were cut off from the most ancient parts of the city. Nehemiah was stationed in Jerusalem and invited Eliezer to bring his family to the city to mark the moment. At this time, hostilities with Syria had been ongoing, and both of them knew that Egyptian forces were massing in the Sinai. What would take place was a conversation between them that captured the moment and the heartbreak and miracles that were to follow. The account of this conversation between Eliezer Cheetah Cohen and Nehemiah Cohen comes from an interview with Eliezer Cohen that makes up the first chapter of the remarkable book The Lion's Gate by Stephen Pressfield, a book that contains a series of interviews with IDF members about their memories of the Six-Day War, a book published decades after the battles. The very first chapter of the book is titled Two Brothers, and in it, Eliezer Cohen tells us the following. Quote, my wife Ella and I had gone with our children to the parade in West Jerusalem. Nehemiah phoned and invited us to come out to his command post for a visit. It's safe, he said. Bring the kids. Nehemiah's outpost was Abu Tor in the middle of no man's land. Abu Tor is the highest hill immediately south of the old city. The site controls access by road from Jordan and dominates the southern approach to Old Jerusalem. Nehemiah had about 50 paratroopers in posts along the armistice line, four or five in each. He had set up his headquarters in a beautiful old red stone villa, which had been abandoned for almost 20 years since the fighting in 1948. All around the house were barbed wire, barricades, machine gun posts. Signs read, Danger! Mines! It was a gorgeous spot in the middle of a junkyard. Down the hill were posts and fortifications of the Arab Legion. These were King Hussein's elite troops, British trained, wearing their famous red and white checkered keffiyehs. My kids were thrilled to see enemy soldiers so close. Nehemiah and I spent 2 hours together. We went up on the villa's high, flat roof. The site looked like any other field outpost occupied by young soldiers. Sandbags and high-powered binoculars. Cases of combat rations, bedrolls tucked into corners. A half-circle of rucksacks with weapons and helmets ready for action. End quote. Thus did these two brothers meet, so close to the site where the city of Jerusalem was divided, and they pondered the challenges that Israel's government would face next. By this time, the leadership of Israel had changed dramatically. Following Ben-Gurion's resignation from the premiership in 1963, the leadership passed to Levi Eshkol, a man dramatically different from his predecessor. We will focus on Eshkol's unappreciated strengths in our coming episodes, drawing on the writings of Michael Oren, to which our discussion of these events is indebted, as well as drawing on the personal account of Yehuda Avner. For now, we can just take note of the events occurring at this time. Utilizing Israel's response to Syrian attacks as an excuse, Nasser sent multitudes of Egyptian forces into the Sinai. Michael Oren sets the stage for us, describing both the events and Eshkol's conversation with his chief of staff, Yitzhak Rabin. Quote, on May 14th, while attending an Independence Day show in the Hebrew University Stadium, Eshkol received word that vast numbers of Egyptian troops were marching into Sinai. The pretext was Soviet charges that Israeli forces had massed on the northern border in preparation for invading Syria. Though he knew these claims to be false, Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser declared his intention to come to Syria's defense. Rabin immediately recommended the mobilization of all of Israel's reserves, but Eshkol preferred to proceed cautiously and to put only the regular army on alert. Through diplomatic channels, meanwhile, Eshkol assured Nasser that Israel had no hostile intentions towards Syria or any Arab state and no interest in war. End quote. Nevertheless, as Oren further tells us, Eshkol sensed that war was coming. Quote, throughout the festivities the following day, reports of the Egyptian buildup streamed in. IDF intelligence concluded that Nasser's move was political in nature and not meant as the prelude to a military offensive, but Eshkol was beginning to have doubts. End quote. Oren tells us that when asked by his wife what seemed to be the matter, Eshkol told her, "Don't you realize there's going to be a war?" Thus, while war was not certain, it was certainly a real possibility foreseen by Israel's prime minister, and it was foreseen by these two brothers meeting in Jerusalem during the Independence Day celebration. But while battles with Syria and Egypt were understood by both Eliezer and Nehemiah Cohen as imminent, the same could not be said about a battle with Jordan, which would mean that ancient Jerusalem would not be part of the war, or so Eliezer Cohen thought. In his interview with Stephen Pressfield, he said, quote, "We both knew that war was coming. Does it frustrate you, brother, I asked, to be stuck here in Jerusalem when the fighting will surely be in Sinai or Syria? Our understanding in that moment was that war would not come to the holy city. Jordan wouldn't risk attacking Israel. She might lose, and Israel could not make the first move. The outside world would never let her." End quote. So Eliezer Cohen said to his brother Nehemiah, who was stationed in Jerusalem. To this, Nehemiah Cohen, using the brotherly term Achuya, responded with a prediction that many would not have made then. Eliezer Cohen said in his interview about his brother's response, quote, "Achuya," he said, "if war comes, it will come to Jerusalem too. We are going to liberate the old city." I didn't believe him. I thought to myself, this is only a dream. Every combat alert at the time was against the Egyptians, the Syrians, the Iraqis, never against the Jordanians. "It will happen," my brother said. "You will see." We embraced then and took our leave. End quote. War came soon, with Eliezer Cohen piloting his helicopter in action, not learning until the end of the war that his brother, Nehemiah, had been killed fighting Egyptian troops at the war's very beginning. Eliezer said, quote, "On the last day, when all Israel was flooding into liberated Jerusalem to touch the stones and behold the miracle that many had believed would never come to pass, I was in the office of the base commander at Tel Nof Air Base, being informed at last that my brother had not survived to witness this day. In that hour, my world ended." End quote. It is a heartbreaking image. As all Israel rejoiced in the fulfillment of his brother's prediction, Eliezer mourned the loss of his brother. This story is the beginning of Stephen Pressfield's book, and its conclusion, hundreds of pages later, returns to these two brothers. Following the war, a member of Sayeret Matkal named Arnan came to Eliezer and told him that Nehemiah Cohen's comrades sought to honor Nehemiah's memory. Quote, "Chita, perhaps you are not aware of how deeply your brother was loved by the men of the unit. We know how modest Nehemiah was. He would never speak of this to you or to anyone, even if he had known the extent of his friend's devotion. Arnan told me that he and the men of the Sayeret Matkal had acquired a house in Jerusalem. We want to dedicate this house to Nehemiah, to establish it as a special place to honor his memory." End quote. Eliezer Cohen tells us that he was overcome. Quote, "This kind of honor is accorded to generals and to field marshals, not to captains." End quote. Arnan told Eliezer Cohen that he wanted to show him the home that they had chosen to buy in Jerusalem and to dedicate in Nehemiah's memory. Quote, "So we drove, Arnan and I. When we reached the old British railway station on the Bethlehem Road, I thought to myself, this is the neighborhood of my brother's combat outpost. That day, when Ella and I and our children visited him, just before the war, Arnan's jeep began to climb the hill to Abu Tor. I said to him, did you know that I spoke for the last time with Nehemiah here at Abu Tor, on the terrace of an abandoned Arab house that his men were using as a command post? No, I did not. Arnan's jeep turned into a final narrow lane. We came out of a shadow and into a bright open space. There it is, he said. It was the house, the same house." End quote. Eliezer asked whether this site had been chosen because this was the location of Nehemiah's final posting. But no, this was not in the minds of Nehemiah Cohen's comrades when the house was chosen. Said Eliezer Cohen, quote, "Tears came to Arnan's eyes. I had never seen him cry before and never saw him cry again. Are you sure, Chita? Are you sure this house is the one?" "Of course." I embraced my brother for the last time right there on that terrace. The house was dedicated on December 31, 1967. It was given the name Bet Nehemiah, Nehemiah House. End quote. Thus, the house where Nehemiah Cohen had presciently predicted the coming reunification of Jerusalem became the site where his memory was preserved. Speaking of the sacred sections of Jerusalem, Eliezer Cohen reflected how, as he stood during the ceremony establishing Bet Nehemiah in Abu Tor, he looked toward the old city and reflected, quote, "No more will it be desecrated and dishonored. No longer will it reside in the hands of our enemies. This is our Jerusalem, my brothers and mine. We were born here. The city is our home." End quote. Before we speak in coming episodes of political leaders and their decisions, we speak of these two brothers, whose story captures this moment in May of 1967, as well as the moments that followed, a time of yearning for Jerusalem and a foreboding of war. 1967 for Israel would be a terrifying time and a wondrous time, a time of great victory, but also, we must remember, a time of heartbreak and loss. The name Nehemiah means the consolation of God, and the seeming happenstance of the very same site of Nehemiah Cohen's prediction marking his memory is actually, I believe, a providential symbol of the story of Jerusalem itself, a city where providence has been made manifest so many times, and a city where providence in 1967 was made manifest again, giving consolation to so many that had mourned ancient Jerusalem for so long. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow, signing off.